You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Cynthia Schuster, filling in for Joy Cardine. We'll take a look this hour at last night's State of the State address by Governor Walker and ask for your reaction as well. We'll check in with a political scientist and a couple of lawmakers. But first, a story from Sean Johnson about to wrap up what we heard last night from the governor. He used his fourth State of the State address to promise income and property taxes, but for Walker, the speech itself was more about setting the tone for his reelection campaign. Sean Johnson reports.
This was by far the governor's longest State of the State speech, and in substance, it was a throwback to the types of addresses his predecessors might have given. He discussed topics you'd expect a Wisconsin governor to cover: agriculture, education, tourism, fishing. He brought people on stage to illustrate points on three separate occasions. One group included a nurse in her Spocks and a welder in his helmet.
Each of these people were looking for a job or a better opportunity over the past 3 years. They represent the people and the families behind the numbers. These are the faces of an improving economy in our state. Wisconsin is going back to work.
Walker had been speaking for 50 minutes before he started to get into the meat of this speech. His proposed income and property tax cuts, made possible by a projected billion-dollar surplus in the state's general fund. Walker wants to cut taxes by about $500 million, with $400 million going toward property tax relief and another $100 million toward an income tax cut for the lowest bracket.
When I travel the state, people don't tell me they want to keep sending more money to Madison. They don't tell me that taxes are too low or even that taxes are just right. Overwhelmingly, people across the state tell me that one of the best ways to fuel the economic recovery is to reduce their tax burden.
Walker talked a lot about job numbers, spending most of his time cruising through the good ones: a lower unemployment rate and strong monthly job estimates in 2013. He also gave an update on how many private sector jobs have been created during his tenure.
According to quarterly and monthly job reports, more than 100,000 jobs have been created over the past 3 years.
Alluded to, but not exactly stressed by the governor, is that 100,000 jobs leaves him about 150,000 shy of his 250,000 job campaign pledge. Democrats, like Milwaukee Representative Sandy Pasch, called the governor's tax cuts a gimmick designed to distract voters from the harm Republicans had done to the state. Likewise, Pasch said Walker's decision to bring people on stage to talk about jobs was missing the bigger picture.
I'm really glad people got jobs, but many, many more people need jobs. We are 37th in the nation in job creation.
Reaction among majority Republicans was mixed. Assembly GOP Speaker Robin Voss embraced Walker's plan wholeheartedly.
I support Governor Walker's plan as he introduced it. I think he's got a perfect combination.
But Republican Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald told reporters he did not yet have the votes to pass the governor's plan. Several GOP state senators, including Dale Schultz of Richland Center, say they're concerned with how Walker's proposal would increase Wisconsin's structural deficit.
People are telling me, balance the books. You know, we're not interested in something that will help you guys get reelected. What we want is the books balanced.
While GOP lawmakers work out those differences amongst themselves, it would appear the governor already took care of another part of his agenda. Walker announced last night that he directed his revenue department to reduce the state's income tax withholding tables, a move he says people should start noticing in their April paychecks. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
We'll talk this hour with a political scientist about last night's State of the State address, and we'll check in with a couple of lawmakers as well. You can call in with your reaction at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our guest this hour is David Helpap. He's assistant professor of political science at UW-Green Bay. His areas of expertise include state and local government, public management and budgeting, and public policy. Professor Helpap, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So let's take a look at the state of the state. First of all, just as a concept, it is an election year, and the State of the State address is an annual event. But is it special this year because it's an election year?
Yes. I think when we have election years, the state of the state is particularly important. This gives governors the opportunity to largely lay out their accomplishments, which is pretty much what you saw last night. and also give some vision of what the governor sees for the future, which you saw a little bit toward the end of the speech last night as well.
So what stood out to you as you watched last night, and what should we take away from it as, you know, informed citizens?
Well, I think the speech was largely what people had expected coming into the evening. There was an extensive discussion for the probably the first two-thirds or three-quarters of the speech of the governor's accomplishments, some of them recent, some of them from the past two or three years, and then a large discussion of jobs. That was a consistent theme throughout the speech. Most of what he talked about tied back into creating jobs, adding jobs, maintaining jobs. And then finally, toward the end, there was a very pointed discussion of the tax cuts and what we should do with the kind of unexpected nearly billion-dollar surplus that we've come into over the past few weeks.
Mm-hmm. What is the prognosis for that proposal, by the way? There are some concerns among Senate Republicans about the structural deficit that it might cause, as we just heard in Sean Johnson's piece. And then again, we don't hear a lot of concern so far outside of the assembly. So what do you think is going to come of that proposal?
Well, right now, I think there are three different perspectives. Most Democrats, I think, would like to see that surplus used to restore some of the programs that were cut over the past 3 years. So education, technical schools, job training programs, these types of things. Assembly Republicans seem, or at least some of them seem to have the opinion that perhaps tax cuts should go further, that we should use the large majority of the surplus to make the tax cuts larger. And then for Senate Republicans, I think there is a little bit of a concern that we need to get our fiscal house in order in the long term before we really get into some deep tax cuts. So we're facing a structural deficit in 2015. Perhaps we should shore that up first. So if the governor is going to have any resistance to what he proposed last night, it's going to come from the Senate Republicans.
The governor touted several employment-related numbers in his speech, including, now bear with me here now, numbers, 13,000 new businesses, a 95% confidence rating from state business owners, and a steep decline in the unemployment rate, not to mention a list of individual residents who found jobs this year that he introduced us to during the speech. What numbers of these are most indicative of the true state of the state?
I think the unemployment rate is certainly a good thing. When he talked about new businesses being created, that's also a positive. So, I mean, none of these numbers reflect terribly on the state. A few things were left out, obviously. The governor didn't spend an extensive amount of time talking about the 250,000 jobs promise that he had made during his campaign. He said that, you know, we've made it about halfway there. And then that was kind of it. So I think the state is certainly doing better. But as a whole, many states throughout the union are doing better. The kind of national tide is rising, and Wisconsin is being included with that as well.
And with a surplus now and the proposal to put more money back in the wallets of taxpayers, what do you think the trajectory will be in terms of job growth and unemployment numbers?
Well, I think that, I think that certainly if the country as a whole continues to improve, so Wisconsin. Wisconsin has improved, as the governor said. But, you know, there still can be work to do. A large discussion that he had was related to manufacturing jobs. And if this is a good area for growth, the state should be able to capitalize on that. But there are other, you know, sectors out there that I'm sure the state would like to focus on as well.
We're talking with David Helpap. He's assistant professor of political science at UW-Green Bay. And we are also taking your calls this hour on what is the state of the state and whether you agree with Governor Walker's assessment that the state of the state is strong. Our phone number is 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. We'll hear from Senator Chris Larson, Democratic State Senator from Milwaukee, and Senate Minority Leader next. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about the State of the State address, which took place last night. Did you watch it? What's your reaction to it? We're talking with David Halpap. He's an assistant professor of political science from UW-Green Bay. We're expecting to hear from Senate Minority Leader Chris Larson as well this hour, and a little bit later we'll hear from Robin Voss, too. You can join the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. We've been talking about a projected surplus facing the state budget in the next couple of years, $911 million estimated to be the surplus. And here's what Governor Walker had to say about that.
These new revenues are not a one-time windfall or budget gimmick, but come from a strong economic recovery where more people are working, more employers are hiring, and personal income is going up. They also come from good stewardship of the taxpayers' money. What do you do with a surplus? You give it back to the people who earned it. It's your money.
What do you think of that proposal? You can let us know at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Let's talk to Laverne in Monroe. Laverne, what do you think?
Good morning.
Hi.
I listened to the full hour of Governor Walker and also to the Democrat response, but the governor didn't impress me, particularly on the jobs and the increased wages they're supposed to be getting. We have a paper down here in Monroe, and according to the newspaper, as well as the Democrat response, we're losing jobs in the state of Wisconsin. I think that's a serious charge that he says we're gaining, and AP and the Democrats says we're losing. Who's telling the truth?
Do you have any perspective on that, Professor Halpap?
Well, I think that largely the state is gaining jobs, but perhaps not at the rate that other states have been. So when the Democrats make that charge, usually they're saying that, well, you know, we're improving and we're happy that people are getting jobs, but compared to other areas of the country, we're not getting them as fast. So we're being outpaced by those states, and perhaps this isn't where we should be. It isn't certainly where we want to be. So they say that, yes, this is good, but we could be doing much better, and other states aren't doing better.
Maybe it's too soon to tell, but we've heard the politicians' reaction to the proposal for the $911 million surplus in terms of tax cuts and tax withholdings. But do we have an early indication of how voters feel about that and whether this is a good thing in their mind?
Well, I think it's for most people, when you say tax cuts, your property taxes are going to go down, your income taxes are going to go down, that's a good thing. They're like, yes, I would love to have my taxes go down. But then again, a number of people in the state are saying, well, perhaps having the same level of taxes is fine if we have a strong education system, if we have strong technical schools, good job training programs, good services. So I think, like most issues in the state right now, most political issues, the state is somewhat divided. People like lower taxes, but there's certainly a good portion of the state that would like to see some of that go back into services. And I think you see that reflected in kind of the opinion polls, on the governor's speech, on political officials in the state in general.
Senator Chris Larson joins us now. He is the Senate Minority Leader and represents a district in Milwaukee. Senator Larson, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Cynthia.
What's your reaction to the State of the State address?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things we agree on with the governor, a couple of broad things. We agree Wisconsin is a great state. We agree that we should be restoring some funds to education and technical colleges. But after that, some of our differences start to emerge. I wish that the governor's plan for restoring funds to technical colleges actually restored all the funds that he cut, and not just a small portion of those. I think that would be a good start. It's good that he's coming around on realizing funding technical colleges can create jobs and give people independence to get out and go get work. It's just kind of 3 years late. We also disagree on his growing of the budget deficit and continuing to add to that. It was already at $700 million before he gave this speech. He wants to grow it above $800 million. So Democrats are not for budget gimmicks. We don't like the idea of giving away a tax cut but having to pay for it in the future. I think most Wisconsin families can relate. They want to make sure their credit card bill is paid off before they plan a vacation. So we disagree on that. And we do want to make sure that there is restoration of the funds to education. We saw the largest cut to K-12 education in state history under Walker's first budget. And until we restore that, we're operating under a values deficit, which is we're focusing on those things that aren't the most important to us, by giving away tax breaks to the rich, by not paying our obligations and cutting short our students in the state. We're going to pay for that in the long run. And so I think it's better that we address all those things up front. And if we could do it in a bipartisan way, even better.
If I recall correctly, in his response last night, Representative Peter Barca mentioned that Democrats do believe that some of the surplus should be used to relieve property taxes. Do I have that right, and do you agree?
There is a portion, yeah. We've advocated for that as Democrats, that some of it should go towards property tax relief. The other piece that we do like, again, this is a few months late, was when we were asking for the income tax bracket change that would help those who are at the lowest bracket. So that's in his plan. That's good. But again, what we disagree with is how he's paying for it. By adding to the deficit, we don't think that's a long-term recipe for success. I don't think it's a surprise. I don't think it'll surprise most of your listeners to realize that this plan does not look out too far past the next election. It'd be good if the governor laid something out that can lead to our long-term future.
The governor listed a number of accomplishments that he saw over the course of his administration so far. I'm wondering if there's anything that you heard last night that you agree is a positive achievement for the governor, and do you believe that the Democrats should deserve some credit for it as well?
I think his mention of our strong pension system in the state, Wisconsin has had under Republican governors and Democratic governors alike, has had one of the strongest pension systems in the country. And I think it's good, especially around the country, as you hear Republicans bashing pension funds, that he has backed away from his threats to intervene on that. So that's something we agree on. We also agree that Wisconsin continues to be a great state for tourism, as he mentioned, in all four seasons, things going on. We also agree we have a strong manufacturing background, and that's something we shouldn't shy away from. We should encourage in our youth and encourage in our workers. So those are things that, you know, we do have bipartisan support for. So we do have some page that we can start on as we start this conversation.
Mm-hmm. How do you think the state is doing overall, and what do you wish the governor had addressed last night?
I think it's tough when he kept on citing statistics from an obscure magazine. I don't know if you heard it, where he keeps doing this, where he cites Chief Executive Magazine. Now, I don't know about you and I don't know about your listeners, but I don't read that. Nobody I know has read Chief Executive Magazine. And so citing that as his first source out of the gate as being why Wisconsin is doing better, when at the same time the federal labor statistics are showing Wisconsin is 37th in the nation, is troubling, showing that Minnesota is doing twice as good as Wisconsin. I mean, it's devastated like any Wisconsinite that Wisconsin didn't beat the Gophers last night, but if they beat them 2-1, we wouldn't say, okay, we're on a good path here. And so to see Minnesota doing twice as good as Wisconsin, we need to make sure we are looking at the same set of facts to work from. So that's where it would be good if the governor would address the fact that he is halfway, not even halfway, to his goal of 250,000 jobs created. We've always been supportive of that. We want to get to that. But it doesn't seem like the governor is talking about that too much these days.
Last night, Governor Walker, and we only have a minute before news, so I'll just give you a little bit of time to respond here. He drew contrast between himself and Governor Doyle. How fair are these comparisons, and do you think that that's going to set the stage for the 2014 reelection campaign?
I mean, I think I don't think it's helpful for him. I mean, he can do what he wants. I don't think it's very helpful for him to continue to be backwards looking. I think most folks recognize that the entire country was in a recession. And as much as Governor Walker wants to blame Jim Doyle for it, you can't really blame Jim Doyle for a national recession. And the fact is, as we ended that, came out of the end of that, before Walker started, Wisconsin was 11th in the nation in private sector job growth. So it's all relative of where we were compared to now, where we're 37th. So it's important to point that out. So, yes, we are moving in the right direction. We're getting some jobs created, but when other states are doing twice as good, when there are 36 other states that are exceeding us in job creation, we're not just moving fast. We're not just making it.
Well, Senator Larson, we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
I'm Cynthia Schuster, filling in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. The governor gave his State of the State address last night, and this was his declaration.
The state of our state is strong and improving every day. The economy is dramatically better, and our finances are in great shape.
Do you agree with that assessment? We ask you that question this hour at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Among other things, in his State of the State, Governor Walker also laid out his blueprint for prosperity, including an investment in technical colleges to eliminate a waiting list in high-demand fields like manufacturing, agriculture, and information technology, help high school students get training in high-demand jobs through dual enrollment programs between high schools and technical colleges, and to support programs helping people with disabilities enter the workforce. Do you support these measures? Do you think that this will lead to a better economy and a better workforce here in Wisconsin? Our phone number, once again, 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. You can also leave a comment on our Facebook page. David Halpap is an assistant professor of political science at UW Green Bay, and he's joining us for the full hour. We will speak with Representative Robin Voss in just a moment. He's the Republican state representative for Burlington and an assembly speaker. Professor Halpap, just before the news, we were talking to Senate Minority Leader Chris Larson, and I asked him a question pertaining to Governor Walker's contrast that he drew a couple of times in his speech last night to his predecessor, Jim Doyle. Were those strategic references because it is a reelection year, or is that common in a state of the state address?
Well, I think in state of the state addresses, you do have that on occasion, but like you mentioned, it occurs quite often in election year speeches. The governor is going to be beginning his campaign shortly. He knows who his opponent is going to be. So the best thing he could do in a speech like this, when he has the attention of the residents of the state, is to draw connections between perhaps a challenger and past administrations. So the more in his campaign that he can connect Mary Burke with the administration of Jim Doyle and the former governor himself, I think the better he feels that will be for his campaign.
Well, we'll pick up there in just a moment. Let's talk to Representative Robin Voss, Assembly Speaker and Republican State Representative from Burlington. Representative Voss, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks very much, Cynthia. Have a good day. I hope you're having a good day.
So far, so good. So what's your reaction to the governor's State of the State address last night?
You know, I've been a legislator for about 10 years, and I have to say that I think it's one of the best state-of-the-state addresses that I ever heard. The governor was full of energy. He came up with new ideas, focusing on the things most important to Wisconsin, worker training, making sure we don't go back into deficit, and at the last most important thing, he focused on getting money back to people so they can spend it and keep our economy rolling. I think the fact that we had so much excitement in the chamber, lots of standing ovations, lots of applause, and really focus on the future is exactly what Governor Walker wanted to showcase, and I think it came through really well.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, that has been the news for the week so far. Is this $911 million surplus that's being estimated and the proposal to cut taxes and withholdings as a result? Some senators, Republican senators, have expressed some concern over the long-term fiscal health of that proposal. But the Assembly, I haven't heard much out of the Assembly. What's your reaction to that proposal?
No, I think it's because we're united around Governor Walker's proposal. When we passed the budget in June, Democrats, one of their main talking points was that there was going to be a $500 million long-term deficit. We passed the budget, and of course we came back in October where we had already gone into surplus. That's how we put more money in the rainy day fund and also were able to give a property tax cut. They said at that time we were going to go into some sort of structural deficit. And then we come back here and now we're at a $1 billion surplus. So I think that while I always worry about making sure that our financial health is good in the long run, the most important measure is something called the GAAP accounting deficit. That's what accountants and financial officers use in the private sector. And under Governor Walker's plan, as he's presented it, that GAAP deficit will actually go down. So what I think the most important thing to remember is that as we grow our economy, the structural deficit is really irrelevant. What's most important is the long-term financial health of families, and that's what this budget worries about.
Well, Chris Larson also pointed to jobs numbers as one reason why maybe the state of the state isn't as strong as Governor Walker was indicating last night. He said that under Governor Doyle, the state was left at 11th in the nation for job creation, and now we're down to 37th. What's your response to that?
Well, once again, I guess you can always find a statistic. You know, even when you look at the sky, it seems like Democrats, instead of looking for the blue, find a way to look for the clouds. Where we look, I think, is the most important, and that's the trajectory. As we look at what Wisconsin has gone through and is moving past, we know that our economic growth is one of the highest in the Midwest. We know that long-term job prospects for people in Wisconsin is a lot better than in other states around the country. And most importantly, we see that personal incomes are rising and our unemployment rate is going down. So the facts are on our side.
The governor also announced a Better Bottom Line program to add job training and workforce participation opportunities for disabled residents in the state. How many people will that help, do you think?
Well, I know that as an example, it's going to focus on a couple different areas. Number one, we have a waiting list at technical colleges for high demand fields. And what Governor Walker is proposing is to take part of the surplus and use that to make sure that we've got the very best trained workers all around the country. But I agree with you, the idea of saying we're going to figure out a way for every single person, be they traditionally abled or someone who has special needs, to feel that they are productive and part of Wisconsin, I think that's something that hopefully everybody will buy into.
Mm-hmm. Republicans aren't uniformly behind the governor's path to prosperity. Is that right? Where's the disagreement?
I think some Senate Republicans would rather let the money stay in Madison and spend it next session. I think that the vast majority of Republicans, though, both in the Senate and the Assembly, want to take the tax cuts, accept the fact that the money that's being spent in the private economy is a much better driver of economic growth than leaving it sit in somebody's checking account, hoping that things don't get worse.
Going back to these tax proposals that the governor mentioned, the Democrats are saying use this money to reinvest in education, to make up for the cuts that have been put in place a couple of years ago. Why isn't that on the priority list for the governor and for the Assembly and Senate?
Well, first of all, we know that the cuts have already been made up for. The cuts only really happened because we did not have the financial resources, but because we asked employees to put a little bit toward their pension and a little bit toward their health care. That saved Wisconsin school districts, counties, local governments billions of dollars already. So I think that they've already been able to do an excellent job. We see that school districts and municipalities actually have better surpluses and better fund balances because of these reforms than before. So I think that rather than giving the money to government to spend at any level, we want to give it back to families through property tax cuts. The one thing that I have learned over time is the most despised tax is the property tax. It's the one that almost every single person who spends money in Wisconsin, that's the one tax that they know almost by heart. And this plan is going to make sure that everybody across the state feels property tax relief in a real way. And I think that's a much better way to spend the surplus than having government figure out how to spend it for you.
Do you anticipate an increase of bipartisanship this year? And what areas do you think you'll find some agreement with Democrats?
Well, the nice part is in the Assembly, as Governor Walker mentioned last night, 97% of the bills that we have passed have been bipartisan. So I think if you look at our track record, I will match it against any other legislature in the entire country because we have tried to figure out ways to work together. Now, of course, there are core principles. I believe in lower taxes. Democrats believe in more spending and higher tax. I believe in things like voter ID. They don't. I mean, there are certain things that we will probably never find common ground on, but on the vast majority of issues, things like mental health, which we've already passed, things like our anti-heroin efforts, which I think are being called groundbreaking, things like education reform, I'm very optimistic that through the course of this session, we're going to continue that 97%. But, of course, the media, that's your job, reports on 3% because it's a more interesting story.
Well, Representative Voss, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Mm-hmm. Robin Voss is Republican State Representative from Burlington and Assembly Speaker. I'm Cynthia Schuster filling in for Joy Cardine, and we're talking about last night's State of the State address by Governor Walker. We're wondering, too, whether you support some of the measures that he proposed last night, whether you're optimistic about job creation in the state and the economy, and what your assessment of the state of the state is. Our phone number is 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. We'll get to your calls and more analysis with Professor David Halpap right after this news, or rather, right after this break. I'm Cynthia Schuster on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the State of the State address, which took place last night. You probably heard it right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Cynthia Schuster filling in for Joy Cardine, and our guest for the remainder of the hour is David Halpap. He's an assistant professor of political science at the UW-Green Bay. Getting your reaction to the proposals set forth by the governor and whether you think that it will lead to a healthier, stronger economy, as he says it will. 1-800-642-1234 is our phone number. Professor Halpap, we just heard from Representative Robin Voss. He said that the Republicans and Democrats have a track record of bipartisanship. Do you think that's an accurate assessment?
Well, I think there's always issues that Democrats and Republicans can agree on, as the legislator said. You have things like Wisconsin is a great state. Wisconsin has a strong manufacturing base that we need to improve. More recently, as you mentioned, the heroin bills that came through. These are issues that you can get support from both sides of the aisle on. But when it comes to things like fiscal issues, when it comes to social welfare type issues, this is where you tend to have more of the disagreement. And a lot of times these are the issues that the public tends to pick up on quite a bit. So there's always going to be some area for cooperation, some room for cooperation. But when it comes down to things like budgets, which is one of the primary tasks that the legislature has, there's a lot less room for cooperation there, at least as a whole.
Let's take a call from Kim in Milwaukee. Hi, Kim.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I wanted to call and say that I think that I keep hearing about investing in education, but I feel like we're investing in education on the wrong end. Like, we're waiting until far too late. I mean, if we were to invest in early education, like before 5 years old when the brain is still developing, then we would have a lot more success later on in life. And like fixing MPS, for example.
Okay. And what's your, did you have more, Kim?
That was just a comment.
Okay. So what about that, Professor Halpap? Investing in early education, is that important?
Well, yes, I think it is important.
investing in education in any level, I think, is going to help your state and your state citizens. But again, that goes back to the priorities of your elected officials. Right now, there's a focus on this idea of a skills gap. So making sure that we have enough people trained for the manufacturing jobs that are available in our state. A lot of people had kind of gotten away from those types of jobs, finding value in those types of jobs, and now there's been this resurgence that there are these types of jobs still out there, but we just don't have the individuals to fill them. So this is kind of what the state government seems to be focusing on right now.
Mary in Madison, we'll go to you next. What's your question or comment? Mary?
Oh, hi. I didn't realize it was me. What I would like to suggest is that, first and foremost, we remedy our structural deficit. That's thinking towards the future. We're going to suffer in the future if we don't do that. Secondly, I would put money towards our physical deficits. Any reports that we've had that our bridges are in danger, our schools are in danger, the building of our schoolhouses, our building of our bridges for the safety before there's some danger lurking on those, that part. And third, I would say that we can now take the funds that were available from the federal government to expand our health care and therefore reduce the health care expenses for everyone in the state. So those three programs would help everyone. $150 for me personally will not change the quality of my life in the long term, but putting that towards the future and everyone putting it towards the future would improve things, I believe. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Professor Halpap, that brings up an interesting question. She said first priority should be to ensure the fiscal health of the economy in the long term, fixing the structural deficit. How does, I know you're not an economist, but offer whatever insights you might have. How does the approach change when your priority is long-term structural deficits versus a short-term solution to immediate problems?
Well, if you're looking in the long term, you're looking at your overall debt, the types of bonding that you have done, your level of bonding. You want to try and reduce that. Whereas in the short term, you can kind of focus on the short-term tax reductions, these types of things, but you have to consider what type of impact this will have 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, when the economy might change for better or worse. We don't really know. But making sure that you have enough in your rainy day fund, or you have enough set aside just for projections that are 2 years down the road. So if we're going to have a structural deficit in 2015, make sure we have that money put away where we can cover that. Otherwise, we end up in a situation where we were a few years ago, where then you have to start thinking about cutting programs or finding new sources of revenue.
Mm-hmm. And she mentioned infrastructure. I remember a couple of years ago, the highways were a priority in the governor's budget. Have the priorities changed since then?
Well, it seemed like in the State of the State address that he presented last night, there was still a mention of infrastructure and highways. Additional money is going to be going toward that in our current budget. But we have to consider as well, you know, maintaining the infrastructure that we have. So rather than perhaps building new, making sure that everything that it currently exists in the state is well taken care of. Because the last thing that most political officials want is for something to go wrong. Because then the response always is, well, whose fault is it? Why wasn't money going toward this? Where were the inspectors? These types of things. So maintaining the current infrastructure, I think, is important, but it's something that's very easy to put off when you're in a tough economic time or when you have other priorities.
Okay. We have time for Craig in Madison. Hi, Craig.
Hey, guys. I was just going to say that, you know, I didn't hear any new ideas last night in Scott Walker's speech. It sounded a lot like more of the same, more tax cuts and whatnot. And I think that if you're going to lead in government, you need to also have new ideas and you have to have ideas that will move society forward. And I haven't heard anything come out of his mouth last night that made me believe that he was moving in that direction.
Well, one thing that our own reporter, Sean Johnson, pointed out that we hadn't heard from the governor quite in this way before was an investment in technical colleges and programs to foster some increased participation in programs like manufacturing. Does that not impress you, Chris? Craig?
It doesn't sound like it's going to really move the needle at all, if you ask me. I think that, the schools right now, for example, my son, we have to provide more as parents now to schools as far as supplies and whatnot because of the deep cuts that a lot of the schools have taken. And, we get a little tax cut, but now we're buying more things out of our own pockets for the schools. So it kind of negates that little extra money that we got off the tax cut. And I just feel like the tax cuts are nice, but they could also be better used to reinvest into the public institutions that we all enjoy.
Thanks, Craig. Professor Halpap, he's saying there, it sounds like, although some of these ideas might be new, ultimately the principles are not new, and he anticipates the same old, same old. Do you think that that's a fair assessment?
I think that it's something that we probably expected from the speech and from the administration. As far as in cutting taxes, these were their priorities. They laid out which specific taxes they wanted to cut. So while they may not be new ideas, I guess it's something new for states. Over the last few years, when so many have been talking about increasing taxes or cutting programs, they're now able to go in the other direction. So in that sense, it's new. But on the other hand, these are kind of ideas that have been long present from the Republican side of the aisle.
In our last minute here, ultimately, what should we remember most from the speech last night as 2014 unfolds?
Well, I think the theme throughout the speech was job creation, particularly in the manufacturing sector. So I think that's really what people are going to take away from it, and probably the tax cuts. Whether or not the governor gets all that he wanted with regard to the tax cuts, I think this will get people talking and will certainly play a factor in the gubernatorial election coming up in November.
A lot to look forward to. This will be an exciting year for sure. Thanks so much for joining
us. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
David Halpap is Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW-Green Bay. His areas of expertise include state and local government, public management and budgeting, and public policy. I want to thank Christy Taylor, Bill Martins for producing this hour, Robin Cherry for direction, and Marika Suval for on-air production. Thanks as well to Senator Chris Larson and Representative Robin Voss for joining us earlier this hour as well. Stay tuned. We'll explore the science of earworms next hour. I'm Cynthia Schuster, filling in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.